We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray, let us pray, everywhere and every way, every moment of the
day. Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. It is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm your host this morning, Monica Lovell. The beautiful Tina Dobbs is over there running the iPad. And our guest this morning is Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey.
Come out,
sister. Ding, 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 ding. Yeah. How are you doing this morning?
I'm blessed. Loving this snow. It was beautiful driving in. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to us three ways. You can send it to our email, hourofpower32@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. You can text it to 580-485-0837. And you can still post it to our Facebook page and we'll get it on paper so that we can pray for you about halfway through the program. Our sponsor, we do record in two parts and we'll have it posted shortly after the program is ended. Our sponsor for today is Grants Auction and Realty. They don't charge you more. They make you more by itemizing and cataloging all your items. Mm-hmm. I think I covered it all.
You got it on a Monday morning.
I know. God's so, he's so sweet.
I know. He takes good care of us.
Yes, he does. Would you pray to start us out, sister?
Father, we are so thankful to just be in your presence. God, we thank you that you are living within us. You're not just in this room, but you're within us. And God, we thank you that today you have, like Sister Monica said, you've set this time aside. It's holy unto you. And we just thank you that we get to come in here and be a part of this and just to experience you and your word. And so today, Father, we just ask you to come and have your way in this place. Holy Spirit, I'm leaning on you. You're the one who prepares the word or gets the word from the Father and gives it to me. And so, Holy Spirit, I'm leaning on you. You have the right now word fitly spoken in due season for the people. And Holy Spirit, we want the fresh bread today. We want to hear what you have to say today. We don't want to live off of yesterday's bread. We want the fresh bread. So, Holy Spirit, come and give us the fresh bread today. Anoint me. Use me for your purpose. God, just hide me behind Christ, that it only be Christ who is seen and heard today in this room. And Father, send out your word and bring healing to the people. Send out your word and bring life to the people. I thank you that your words are spirit and they are life. God, I pray that you will minister to the people today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Woo. I like your title this morning.
Fire of God.
Fire of God.
Yeah. It's perfect. Just like I said, it's snowing outside and it's you want to be next to the fire. That's where you want to be when you're, you know, it's like, well, I loved being out in it because, you know, a lot of times you just stay inside if you can. But anyway, fire of God. We're going to talk a little bit about the fire of God today. Just the Lord really just put something in my spirit. He really just gave me a little bit. And that's, I usually have plenty to say, but he gave me just a small portion. So I said, okay, Holy Spirit, you gave me the small portion. I'm going to release it and let you have the rest of the time. So whatever you want to say, but we're going to talk a little bit about, you know, how we all just really want, we want the anointing of God, the fire of the Holy Ghost. We want to walk in the power. All that God said was for us, we want to walk in. But a lot of times there's this disconnect between what we know and what we're actually walking in. And so sometimes that can be very discouraging. And so today the Lord really wants to just, I believe he wants to reveal some things. There's somebody, I believe 100%, there's somebody who needs this today. It's why the Lord kept putting it on my heart. I have in this book, I have a ton of messages, and they're powerful and they're good and they're straight from the throne room of God, right? But he wouldn't let me speak it because this is the word he wanted to go forth. And so I just pray whoever it is that today you receive it and that every one of us take a hold of what God wants to give us from this. But let's open up the word to Romans chapter 12. We're going to start in verse 1, and I think we'll read through verse 2. actually, we'll go ahead and read through three. I will say this. Romans 12 is one of those passages. You know how everybody says they have a life verse? You know, this is mine. So Romans 12, 1 was a life verse for me. In fact, I wrote a song off of it. The Holy Spirit gave me a song to write from it. And it actually was my very first song I ever wrote. And so it's just very special to me. But it just became something that God put in my spirit a long time ago. And he's still growing this thing in me. That's what I love about the Word of God. I mean, it's not just a one trick pony, whatever. It's not a one thing. There is levels and levels and levels and levels within one scripture of what God wants to take us into. And so let's just open up the Word here. Romans 12, 1 and 2, or 1 through 3. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. And then he begins to go in and talk about the body and different gifts and all of that, and it's awesome. You should just get in there and read the whole chapter. But I want to focus in on verse 1 right now. Paul is pleading with the Romans here, the Roman believers. He's pleading with them. There's something he really wants them to understand here. He said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourself, your body, a living sacrifice. And so he's telling them that there is something that is important here. It's something so important, he's really begging them. That word beseech means he's pleading with them. He's saying, I'm trying to tell you something here. I got a key for you. And if you grab a hold of the key, something can change and unlock in your life that you've been waiting on. See, the Holy Spirit said somebody is getting frustrated. Somebody's getting discouraged because they've been waiting on the things that God has promised, but they're not seeing them come to pass. He said, it's like you keep knocking at the door, but nothing's happening. He said, you keep going forth and by faith, you're standing and you're walking and you're believing, but something isn't changing. He said somebody is believing that they're supposed to be walking in the power, the anointing, the fire of the Holy Ghost, and they're just not. They're not experiencing what they know the Word is saying to be true. And he said it's because there's some keys that you've not grabbed a hold of. So today he's releasing a key to you. And if you'll take that key, you can use it and you'll begin to see the things you want to see in your life that God promised you. All the promises of God are yes and amen. So if his Word says it, it is ours. And if it ain't working, something's not right. And it's on our end, not God's. And so a lot of times we got to go back and say, God, what am I missing? Because your Word is saying this, but I'm not experiencing it. And so there's often a key that we need to grab a hold of. And so a lot of times we want the power and anointing of God. We want the fire of the Holy Ghost, but we're not necessarily experiencing it. And so a key here is this. What the Lord said to me is, he said, Tammy, you want the fire of God in your life. He said, but look through my Word. He said, anytime that there was a fire that came down, anytime a fire was present, it was when there was an offering or a sacrifice to be consumed. Now grab a hold of it. He said, until you are willing to say, I'll be the living sacrifice, there will be no fire from heaven fall on you. Do you see that? You have to say, I want the fire of God. I'll be the living sacrifice. Now, the fire on the altar was to burn away things. It was to burn away all that which was to not be consumed. And then it left what was to be eaten. And so the Lord wants to burn away everything in you and I that is not of him. Everything that is not of God must be consumed. Otherwise, it's going to get in the way. It's going to get in the way, and the fire of God cannot flow through your life like it wants to. God wants to flow through your life. And the Bible says, in fact, we'll turn there in just a minute, but the Bible says that God is a consuming fire. So I believe that when he comes to consume us, he's really coming to consume us with himself. That fire of God is God himself in us. But listen, God is holy, and he will not come into any place in our life that is not holy. Holiness and unholiness don't go together. And so God said he's coming to consume all that. And I heard him say it this way. He said, Tammy, He said, Tammy, I cannot let you have all of me until I have all of you.
Come on.
So a lot of us want all of God, but we don't want to give him all of us. And he said, child, I cannot give you any more of myself than you're willing to give up of yourself. So somebody today needs to know there are some things that God has been asking of you, okay? I don't normally preach this kind of message because it very quickly turns into a work-based type faith. And so it's truth, though. So we have to release truth. So I'm releasing it today because God wants you to understand that a lot of times we're not walking in the places that we're called to walk, that God has ordained for us to walk, because we're still hanging on to dead things. Okay, you have been hanging on to some dead things that God has been calling you to lay down, but you've not been willing to lay it down. And until you're willing to lay it down, God can't come in and consume every part of your life. You see, there are parts of you that you've been holding back from God. You haven't wanted to give him all of you. Because truth be told, in my life, there have been places that I didn't want to let go of. There were things that I enjoyed that I wanted to continue to partake in that I didn't really want to let go of. Because you know what I did, Monica? When I first got saved, this is what I did. I was very legalistic. Okay, I was rigid, boy, and I went in there and I started burning. I'm talking, I was hardcore, man. I went in there. Hey, I advocate it. Burn that stuff. It ain't no good, okay? So do it in a safe way. But anyway, I begin to burn. I mean, I'm talking CDs. I'm talking DVDs. I'm talking books, things that were just filth that I knew that were not from God. I begin to take that stuff, and I burned it, okay? People said, Tammy done gone crazy, okay? I mean, she done lost her mind, you know? And so, but what they didn't understand is God was doing something in me. Okay, it was a season in my life where God was saying, these things are not of me, and you can have me if you want me. But he said, Tammy, if you want the world, you can have it too. And I didn't. I wanted all of God. And I began to say, okay, all right, okay, I'm getting rid of it all. Went through my house. I purged that house. Why? Not because I was trying to be something, but because God had put something in my heart that said, get rid of that junk because it ain't doing you no good, Tammy. It's hindering you from the call of God on your life. It is no good. It's trash. It's worthless. It's filth. Get rid of it. And I said, okay, I will. And I began to burn it. I got rid of it. I threw it away. Some of it I burned. I literally did. And my husband came home one day and he said, where's all my stuff? And I said, God said, get rid of it. And I got rid of it. And he said, Tammy. He's like, that was my stuff. I had the choice to get rid of it. I said, it ain't staying in my house. I mean, I was hardcore, okay? I was just like, it ain't staying in my house. I mean, it's out of here, you know? And so we got rid of a ton of stuff. And so in that season, I did get very legalistic, okay? And I began to get very driven in that direction, which was going a wrong way. Mm-hmm. Hey, but I'm not going to say that getting rid of stuff was a bad thing. It was a good thing. And so because what I was doing is I was really putting this line in the sand that said, no, I want God more than anything else. And so I began to just get rid of anything that was a hindrance to my walk with God. And so God is not trying to rob us of our fun. In fact, I don't know about you, but I mean, coming into the life of God and the Holy Ghost is more fun than anything the world has to offer. If you don't think that it's fun, I say you haven't yet met the Holy Ghost.
Come
Amen.
On. Come
on. You ain't yet come into the things of God. You see, there is a place in God where you will never turn back. You will never turn back because God is so amazing and powerful and awesome. You won't want to turn back. And so I began to get rid of those things, saints. And guess what? I did go into a legalistic phase, but God is so gracious. He brought me out of that. Amen. It was a season I had to go through. So what I'm saying to you is there's somebody today that's been hanging on to dead things. You're hanging on to the old way. You're trying to keep both worlds, and you're trying to justify it, because that's what happened to me, Monica. I got really legalistic, and I got rid of everything under the sun, okay? And then anything that I thought remotely would be a hindrance to my walk with God, I got rid of. And then I went to a very far legalistic side. But then what happened was I began to compromise after a season of that. Okay. Because let me say this, just getting rid of dead things in your life will never satisfy you. See, something more had to come. If I was going to get rid of the dead things, now I needed to fill up the dead places with the life of God. You see, I needed the fire of God to come into my life. You see, because there came a point when I didn't have the fire of God. Now I just had all this stuff that was empty. And yes, I had God. I was walking with God, but I was not walking in the fullness of God. I didn't have all of God. And so I was feeling discouraged and empty. And I thought, man, I gave up all that stuff to get what? I mean, I got salvation, but I was not walking in anything greater. And I just said, there's got to be more. There was always something in my spirit that said, there's more. I'm not satisfied where I am, God. And so because I was not going any deeper in the things of God, I didn't know how to go into the deeper places, I began to go back to the old way. I begin to compromise. So here was this straight-laced girl. Boy, I had gotten rid of everything, and I'd went to the extreme, and now I started going back, and I started dabbling in those things, and before I knew it, I started justifying having drinks with people, and I started, woo, boy, somebody, I'm talking to somebody today, and everybody's going, oh, dang, Tammy, what you talking about? And they're going, oh, I'm going to shut this off right now, because this is too intense for me. But I tell you, I begin to go back, and I begin to compromise, and I begin to tell myself, Monica, it was okay. I said, oh, this is, you know, God's okay with this. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing that, you know, and I justified it. And before I knew it, I was hanging out with people who needed saved, and I'm drinking with them. I'm drinking with them. I'm hanging out with them, doing what they're doing, and then thinking I'm still being a light. I started, you know, the devil was telling me, oh, you're still a light, Tammy. God's still in you. See, you're hanging out with them so that they can come near to the place of God. But do you know what was happening? I was actually being drugged down to the place where they were. I was not going higher. I was decreasing. I was going down with them. I was not bringing anybody out of that stuff. I look back at that time of my life. I didn't bring one person out of that place. I didn't bring one, Monica. Not one. Now, let me say this as well. When I was on the far legalistic side, I wasn't bringing nobody out either. Neither one was saving anybody. And so I started compromising. I started going back to that old way. I started watching trash again. Boy, I had burned anything that I thought was not good to watch. I started watching filth again. And I, if I told you, you'd probably say, oh, that really ain't that filthy. Okay? Because, you know, but it was for me. It was for me. And so God was just dealing with my heart. And the Lord said, Tammy, there are some things in your life that are dead. Saints, I want you to understand the things of this world. The Bible says you died to. You died to them. They're dead. Now, I want you to know when you are a living sacrifice, when you get on an altar, dead things are going to be consumed. See, he wants you alive. He wants the sacrifice alive. You are to go about as a living sacrifice, but there are some dead things in your life that have got to be consumed. And until you get on the altar and say, God, have all of me, so I can have all of you, those dead things are still going to hang on you. And I don't know about you, but if there's a dead spot in the actual physical body, it can get gangrene. It can begin to cause things in your body to even begin to die that are alive. It can begin to spread infection. And so this is why the Bible says a little leaven leavens the whole lump. That's why it says that, because a little bit of something that seems like nothing becomes something if you don't watch it. So saints, what is it in your life that's dead that you've been still hanging on to, but you know God's been putting in your heart? He's been saying, hey, you know, this ain't right. You know, you need to let this thing go. It's not, listen to God. He is trying to give you all of himself. He wants you to have all of himself, which is life, which is love, which is joy. It's peace. It's everything you've been desiring, and it's all of him, but you've got to let go of some things. Amen. I never turned my phone off, guys. I'm so sorry. Okay. Where did I set it? It's in my purse. I'm sorry, guys.
It's okay.
You know what? That's called real life. Yeah. Okay. So praise God. I'll turn it down now. But God is just dealing with somebody today. That's what he's doing. Okay. So I want to look at that. He said, I beseech you. How are you going to lay this stuff down? By the mercy of God. See, the mercy of God is going to enable you to do what you could not do in yourself. I'm telling you, God stoops down. Mercy means he stoops down and he stoops down to someone who is inferior, and he helps them. God is so good. You see, even in all my craziness, where I went way extreme and then went to the opposite extreme, God was merciful in it all. He was so merciful to me. When I was full of legalism, boy, I was dogmatic. I was hard on everybody. I was preaching to everybody hellfire and brimstone, and there was no love. There was no light. There was nothing but just truth. And truth without love is abusive, just like love without truth is just as abusive. Amen? So we've got to have both, glory to God. And I tell you, when I went to the other extreme, on the other side, it was the same thing. So there is a balance between all of this. And so God said that it's by his mercy. He's going to stoop down and help you. Oh, thank you, God, for your mercy. God, we need your help. Stoop down and help us. And it says that by the mercies of God, you're going to have to do something. No one's going to be able to do it for you. You have to present your body a living sacrifice. But I tell you, there is a cry in your heart. There was a cry in my heart. And that's God. It's God who puts the cry in your heart. But it's up to you to respond to it. You have to say, God, here am I. Send me. You see, Isaiah 6 talks about that. When he came into the presence of the Lord, what happened? He began to say, oh, woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips. He said, I'm sinful and undone. And he said, if you do not come and do something, God, he was going to be consumed. You see, God cannot be in the presence of sin and not do something about it. But Jesus came to do something about it so we could be in the presence of God. Glory to God. But there's still something about you and I laying ourselves down, or the word wouldn't say it here. He said, we got to present ourselves a living sacrifice. You have to do it. I can't do it for you. As much as I want to go in and do it for all these people, I can't, Monica. We want to do it for our children, but they won't. And until they do that, they're not going to have all of God. And guess what? I believe wholeheartedly what you do is you stay on a fence and you're flat miserable. I believe it. Miserable. And it becomes religious. It becomes religion. And before you know it, you're focused on do's and don'ts, and you're just getting through, and you're trying to get to heaven, and you miss the life of God right here on earth. You missed it. And I don't want to miss the life of God. So if that cry is in your heart, it's because God is trying to take you to some place he wants you to go that is so good, you don't want to miss it. But if you don't respond to him, you're never going to experience it. So you've got to present yourself a living sacrifice, holy. Okay, holiness is needed. God makes us holy. But he also said that you and I have to do something. I want you to look back at Romans 6. What time did we start, Monica? Do you know?
10 after.
Okay, 9:40, that's where I'm going. Okay, Romans 6, I want you to look at something. Okay, let's look at verse 8. We'll start in verse 8. It says, now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more. Death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he lives unto God. Now here's something he wants to say to us. Verse 11. Likewise, you reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. See, the way sin works is first you're going to have a desire and a lust, and then you're going to do it. And so he said, it's up to you to not let yourself be, how did he say it? Do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey the lust of it. Okay, the lusts come up. You and I have lusts. There's no way around it. When they come up, though, you have the power in Jesus Christ to not let it rule you. You have dominion over it now. And you can say, no, in Jesus' name, we are dead to sin. We're not going that way no more. I'm not doing it. I want all of God, and I don't want any of this. I want Christ to live in me fully, and I'm not going to hinder him anymore. He goes on and say, neither should you and I yield our members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. He said, don't use your bodies, your mind, don't use all of that for sinful things. He said, don't yield to it. See, it says, don't yield. We're supposed to yield to the Holy Ghost, not to sin, not to lust. And so as you see it, it says, don't yield your body unto unrighteousness, unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. Did you catch that? He said they were alive. These are believers, Monica, but they could still yield themselves to sin. You see, we're born again, but we still have a decision to make. Who am I going to yield myself to? I'm going to either yield to God or I'm going to yield to the lust and walk in sin. It's one or the other. But Paul is pleading with you. Don't do it. It is not good for you. In fact, it's destructive, and it's going to keep you from fulfilling the call of God on your life. You're not going to have the fire of God, because the fire of God's got to have all of you. Amen. It can be in you, but it's not going to be able to flow through you. And it's not going to be able to change you until you're willing to yield to God. That's the way he works. He's not someone who makes us do something. He calls you to yield to him. He's going to knock on your door. He's going to speak to your heart. He's going to say, come on, come on. That's not the way. Don't take that way. And I promise you this, if you keep on saying and rejecting that, what you'll do is you sear your conscience. The Bible says you sear your conscience. I did it. I seared my conscience for a season. That's why I began to compromise. I began to tell myself there was nothing wrong with it. I'm going to tell you why. I was spending some time with some believers who would get together and they would drink. And so then I started thinking, oh, this is okay. I mean, you know, we're not getting drunk. We're just having drinks. And the Bible does say, do not be drunk. So I don't necessarily believe having a drink is a sin. But if you're not careful, you'll find yourself going the wrong direction. And what you begin to condone, okay, will begin to take over in your life. Do you understand that? What you begin to yield to gets power in your life. And so there was something about it. And I begin to condone things that I was not condoning. And I begin to justify it. And I begin to be okay with it. And what happened was I begin to yield myself to it. And I begin to no longer walk in the fire of God. I begin to walk in my flesh. And I begin to no longer walk in that power, Monica. But I promise you, if you repent from that and you turn back, the fire of God can fall again. Amen. And God can consume every part of you again. And so he said, you have a responsibility. He said, if you, just because sometimes we think we're a believer, we're not, well, we're saved and everything's good and we're going to go to heaven and all is great. And all of a sudden we're yielding ourselves to sin. We cannot fool ourselves. If we're going to yield ourselves to the things of the world, that's what's going to rule us. And we're going to find ourselves not being able to walk in all that God called us to walk in. You and I have to yield ourselves to Holy Spirit. So he said in verse 11, likewise, reckon yourselves dead indeed unto sin, but alive to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. When you reckon something, that word actually means reconcile. And so when you reconcile your checkbook, for example, what you do is you go in and you look at the bank statement and you take your checkbook and make sure it lines up with the bank. And I've said this before here, but I'll say it again. You can have your checkbook say one thing all day, but if the bank says different, you're either going to line up with the bank or you're going to suffer the consequences. Amen. Because they get the final say. I mean, it is what it is. I can go in and say, but I don't understand. They're going to say, I'm sorry. This is what we have in our record. And it's not going to change anything. And so you and I have to come in and reconcile ourselves to something here. God said he wants us to reconcile ourselves here. So I got to line myself up with what the word is saying here. And he said, I want you to reckon yourselves dead to sin. He said, you and I have to reconcile ourselves with God. That I am dead to sin. It no longer has any power over me. So you got to begin to speak it over your life. That's what you were talking about earlier. What we say really has power. And so I begin to say, I'm dead to sin. I reconcile myself dead to sin, alive unto God. I don't yield myself anymore to the things of the flesh. I don't yield myself to the things of this world. I yield myself unto God. And I may not always be walking it out. It may not always be true, but I'm speaking it over my life because I'm reconciling it unto as what God's word said. And I begin to walk that thing out. God help me. You said I was reconciled. You said I'm to reconcile myself dead unto sin. So I am. You said I'm alive unto you. So I am. But God is the one who's going to begin to cause your heart to turn away from the dead things and move to the living things. See, you're called to living things. We're living sacrifices. We're living unto God. We're called unto life, not to the dead places anymore, not to the dead things anymore. The only reason I'm in the midst of dead things is when I'm out there ministering, and that is the only purpose for it. Otherwise, I'm walking in life. Everywhere I go, I spread the life of God. It ought to bring. And let me tell you what fire does. Boy, I love fire. Because fire, it says, will consume dead things. What happens when we're in the dead of a drought, or we're in the midst of a drought and the grass is absolutely dead? What happens when fire comes? It consumes it instantly. So there is a consuming of dead things. That grass will burn like nobody's business. When it is dead, it is easily consumed. And so wherever I go, when I am carrying the fire of God, it begins to consume dead things even around me, Monica. It does. It will consume dead things around you. Everywhere you go, you're bringing the life of God, the life of God. But the fire of God is coming with you. And he begins to do a work in the lives of those around you. And so what I want to, we'll stop here because we're going to take a prayer break, but what I want you to do is reconcile yourself dead to sin. Put a line in the sand today that you're agreeing with God's word. I'm not going that path anymore. I'm dead to that stuff anyway. It's dead. I don't want it. Who's going to go and eat something dead? Who's going to go and partake of something dead? Nothing. It stinks. It's rotten. It smells. It's dangerous. If you consume it, it's not good. And so it's time to get up and walk away from the dead things once and for all. Amen.